Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
We don't have to run this back, Alan, because I see you're passionate about it. We got to put it out to the people.
Because I clearly didn't explain it right. I must not have explained it right. Because you are making it like you're trying to do this whole Dustin Johnson comparison like it's regular people getting – it's not the same. But let's leave it right there.
Yeah, well, if the Canadian League offered me – while I was playing for the Ravens, they
again,
offered me $200
again, it's not the same. There's layers to it that I'm not going. But
okay, I understand the political aspects in the country.
Look,
how the bad.
I am not about counting anybody's money. I shouldn't be about that. You're absolutely right. I don't like though when you BS me. I don't like it when you put it out there and just try to make it like this.
But he has to do it politically. He has to say the politically correct answer. Like, hey, I'm doing this for my family.
All right, fine. Then that's what
I'm getting $100 million for my kids.
Now, did he say it like Brian Kelly? Did he say it like Brian Kelly? I did it for my family.
Exactly. I did it for, yeah.
Brian Kelly suddenly came up with that southern accent when he showed up at LSU. It was amazing.
Let's see what type of endorsement deals they have over there with the products. Listen, if I knew they paid soccer players what they played,
yeah,
I would have gave up football a long time ago. If I knew, like, oh, yeah, man, you can just be an average.
It would help if you were good at soccer.
You can be an average soccer player. Their average players come over here and play in this, play for the Red Bulls, and make more money.
Put a pin in this. Okay. Put a pin in this. More to get to on this. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And it's hour number three, Bart Scott. What does that mean?
Hour number three? That means it's the power hour.
All right.
Baby, my money.
Speaking of money. Guy who knows how to spend money and put teams together is Bobby Marks. He joins us right now, ESPN NBA front office insider. How about that intro, Bobby?
I don't know. I think my wife knows how to spend money, not me. I think that's what she's doing right now, actually.
But putting rosters together certainly is an expertise of yours in dealing with the salary cap and everything else. But as we'll get to a lot of things with you NBA-wise, including the NBA Finals, I just want to offer something we talked about earlier in the show. Right out of the gate, Darvin Ham, new head coach of the Lakers. And I thought it was interesting that he spoke about Russell Westbrook saying, you know, like, I want to get him to, you know, playing that defense the way he did and doing all that stuff. And I thought, wow, it sounds like Darvin Ham's really invested. And Bart laughed and said, no, he's basically saying, stop shooting. I don't want you shooting. I just want you doing all the other stuff that you do. But from a realistic standpoint from the Lakers, a lot of people believed you got to move on from Russell. You got to just get rid of him, get him out of there, dump him off as an expiring. Could you talk about, though, the Lakers, it seems like, are all in keeping him and how difficult it would have been probably to move him anyway?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, certainly, you know, $47 million is hard to move even if he's on an expiring contract, and the ability to have to take back what, $38, $39 million in salary is challenging, and especially if your goal is not to attach anything else to it, whether it be a 2027 or 2029 first-round pick, which is the Lakers' goal right now. And I think what you guys, and you guys know this, I mean, we're in the offseason. This is the honeymoon period for everyone, right? I mean, like, everybody loves their rosters. New coaches love what they're coming into. And I think with Darvin, I think the goal for him was kind of set the tone with, you know, what he is, inheriting here. And it starts with Westbrook. He used the word sacrifice a lot. You know, I talked to Russell. Russell was at the press conference, and Russell said, you know, that there's going to have to be sacrifice. And so what does that actually mean when we get going in late September? Does that mean as far as him changing his style of play? That's hard. I mean, that's hard after being in this league 12 or 13 years and being the guy. But as we saw last year, the results were just not there. So the reality is that Russell Westbrook is going to probably be on this Laker roster, and now it's your job to figure out the best way to make it work here.
Will one of those conversations maybe be suggesting to Russell that he try and become the sixth man of the year? That way he can come off and have his own unit. Hey, what are those type of conversations to have? Because we watched Carmelo Anthony go from a prolific scorer, a superstar to really struggling to being able to adjust that, hey, his game isn't aging well, and how to redefine how he can be effective in this league?
Yeah, I think everything has to be on the table. I think that's probably maybe a little bit more of a conversation when we get going to training camp, because there's so many holes on this roster here that, you know, you basically have seven or eight spots to fill. We'll see what they do in free agency. And, you know, if the pieces fit and it makes sense for Westbrook to come off the bench, then that's a hard conversation to have. But as we talked about earlier, that's the sacrifice. You know, the sacrifice is that, you know, Anthony Davis and LeBron James have won a championship here. Russell Westbrook has never. And if you're at this point of your career, I would think that's probably the only goal here.
Talking with Bobby Marks, NBA conversation with an NBA front office insider with us. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. You know, I got to ask about Donovan Mitchell and the Utah Jazz and what's going on there. You knew it was coming, Bobby. But again, as I talk about how the difficulty of making these kind of moves, and first and foremost, give me both perspectives. What's happening right now in Utah when you saw Woj's report, how Donovan Mitchell, I say it's his exit strategy, right? The fact that Quinn Snyder is now stepped down as coach and him saying, oh, I signed this extension because Quinn Snyder was my coach. Now I don't know what's going on here. I feel like it's exit strategy. So if you're Utah and you're in that front office, Bobby, are you, if he comes to you and said, no, I didn't agree to all this, I don't want to go through a rebuild, I'd like to be moved, do you tell him, no, we got you on the contract, or do you think that there's something out there to be done?
I think there's probably something out there to be done, because I don't know if his feelings, and, you know, certainly the hypothetical will change a year from now or 2 years from now. And then what happens is that instead of him being, you know, under contract for, you know, 4 years, now it's down to 2 years, and maybe the value of him is not as high here. And I think if from Donovan's perspective, here's, you know, you lose your head coach, the only coach that you've had. Dennis Lindsay, you know, who is the head of basketball operations, is not there anymore. Now you've got Danny Ainge, you've got a new ownership group, you know, different ownership group. So the people that were invested in you, and I still believe this current ownership group in front office is, are not there anymore. So you're the comfort level. So I think it's going to be interesting who they hire. Is it somebody from within? Is it somebody that has ties to this organization? I think if they go outside of the box, I think that's going to be a big time challenge here. And I do think if we get to the point that Mitchell does come to them and say, you know what, it's not working, I want something else, I do think you have to take that serious. I don't think you can just say, you know what, you're under contract for three more years and, you know, we'll move you when we want to move you. Because as I said, eventually that, you know, that it will become an open-ended issue here. And that's something that, you know, the Jazz would have to address.
All right, so go viral in New York right now. What is the offer that you would take from the Knicks that would be a realistic one, as we're all coming up with, of course, crazy trades that involve not having to give up anything important?
Yeah, I mean, you just got to get, you know, you got to get 125% of it. So what's the big name? You know, I would, for me, I would want RJ Barrett. That's probably my starting point here. And how do we build up the value of the contract from there with players? As far as, I don't know if Julius Randle does it for me. I know it's a big number and that gets you closer to that number, but, you know, is it Barrett? Is it Nerlens Noel? I know you've got Gobert there. You've got a lot, as I said, a lot of these sweet spot contracts, you know, certainly draft pick. I would certainly want Emmanuel Quickly, because, you know, I think the shelf life of Mike Conley's there. So that's the whole hard part of it, is that what is Donovan Mitchell walking into, right? Mm-hmm. What is left of this Knicks team? And Alan, you guys know, I mean, when after the Carmelo trade, like, you gutted it, and it was a challenge to kind of build that up here. So if I'm Utah, draft picks, it probably don't mean as much, but I'm looking at probably Barrett, Quickly, and then kind of just build up that package as far as, you know, to make the money work.
Unfortunately, Miami and Philadelphia has so many more assets that you probably won.
That's
think
what I'm
about
Maxey,
Tobias Harris. So it's like the Knicks.
Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson. Yes. Like, it's just too many pieces. Yeah, it's going to be hard to compete.
Well, but right now, you know, we got CJ McCollum walking down these hallways as he's doing some work for us for the final for ESPN. And it kind of, you know, brings up the idea, do you see Zion staying with them last year? Are they a better team with Zion or a better team without him?
Well, you know, also, you saw the report that
the non-guaranteed contract.
Yeah, because the owners are talking about not fully guaranteeing that. Now, we saw Embiid do it. If you're Zion, you don't sign that. What do you think?
Well, Embiid's contract was probably one of the most complex that we've ever seen. Basically, you know, it was about 100 of the 147 was guaranteed, and there were some triggers there here. And I think that's something that this ownership group is considering, that the owners, Mrs. Benson is, owns Saints also, and she's looking at, Bart knows, these contracts are not always fully guaranteed here. Yeah. And they'll probably want to put some triggers in it. It's hard for me to think that they're going to offer him 5 years, $186 million with no contingencies here. I think that's a huge, huge gamble here. And so what is it? Is it benchmarks for games played? Is it based off, his prior injury? If, you can put a prior injury clause in there. Is there $100 million guaranteed and 80, the other remaining gets guaranteed based on how many games he played? I think there's a workable solution to that. I mean, the other thing is that you play out the season, you become a restricted free agency. At worst, you've got $17, $18 million qualifying offer that's sitting on your table. But the downside is that what happens if there's another injury? So it's a matter of the player kind of betting on himself.
Yeah, and if you can always match. That's the restricted free agency part. We're talking with Bobby Marks. All right, so to the NBA Finals we go. And I look at the Celtics, and I saw your tweets about how they have been built and what they've done. And it really is remarkable what they've done. They have been very consistent. They believed in their two young guys instead of breaking them up. They made the coaching change, but the culture sort of stays the same. There wasn't a great upheaval like we thought. They bring back Al Horford. I look at the Celtics, and I look at the Warriors, and I feel like the Warriors are looking at their past. The Celtics are looking potentially at their future. Aren't they kind of similarly built with a lot of the same kind of timeline?
They are, but one team is also a lot more expensive in Golden State
now they
here,
are.
And I don't know if we get to that point. I don't know if we get to that point with this Boston team. But you're right. I mean, you hit it right on the head. Basically, it's homegrown products with Brown and Tatum, and then you go out and you make a trade similar to what they did with you get Iguodala. You sign Sean Livingston to kind of fill in the blanks there. You could say that with Horford and Derek White here. And they're very, very similar here. And I think how Wiggins and Poole play, Jordan Poole plays, certainly in a series in next year or even down. Both those guys will determine how long this window in Golden State remains open to win a championship here. Because I think, the youth of Poole, the versatility of Wiggins, as good as Curry is, and I don't know if we're ever going to see the Klay Thompson pre-injury. I don't know. I mean, we haven't, certainly has struggled in this series here. So so I do think that window is still open in Golden State. But, yeah, I mean, this Boston team is going to be knocking on the door, for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and I wonder if, how it's always a copycat league, right? As, the process for a while where people were trying that, and I think some people still are trying that. There was the building super teams thing that a lot of people tried a whole bunch of years ago as well. Is this maybe the model that more teams realize? This is how you not only win in this league but can sustain winning, is get the draft picks, do it right, and then supplement through free agency and proper trades. Because you got the Splash Brothers and you got Jason and Jalen. Like, I just, all the things that we both paralleled. Can this be the blueprint, or at least in your eyes, should this be the blueprint of how you build a team?
It could and it should. I just don't know how much patience front offices have. That's the problem here, is that you kind of get to a point where sometimes you love players on other teams than what you have in-house. And you see, we've seen in Brooklyn, we've seen, with the Lakers, where you have traded away your homegrown talent for a win-now team here. And when it doesn't work out, it sets you back for a long time here. And I'd love for teams to stay together and draft, but it puts, certainly a lot of pressure on your player development department to go out and find those guys that New Orleans did with, Trey Murphy and Jose Alvarado and Herb Jones, guys like that here. And I think it can be done. But as I said, it develops a certain level of patience that it's not going to be kind of a quick fix.
Bobby, great to talk to you as always. So you're telling me then the Knicks, there's no way they can trade for Donovan Mitchell, right? Like, we can just put that to rest.
I think they can, but it's just going to cost you. That's the big thing. How much do you want to give up?
Yeah, that's the problem.
Hey, Bobby, I wanted to ask you about the comments of Pat Riley and his comments about Kyle Lowry. You know, I teased Kyle Lowry during the season and said he looked like he had an ass like Nicki Minaj. You know what I mean? And it seems to me like Pat Riley agreed with me. So how do you have that conversation with a veteran like, hey, man, like maybe you need to call Chris Paul and get on that vegan thing. But listen, you can't. We got to set a weight number for you, man, because – that's why you weren't effective, because your ability to stay
healthy. We didn't sign you to set picks.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Pat Riley has earned so much credibility in this league that it's an easy conversation to have. And I think all Kyle has to do is watch the Boston series. I know he was dealing with an injury here, but for this team to go far, which is an NBA Finals, they can't have the Kyle Lowry that we saw this year. Yeah. So I think that conversation is easy to have.
All right. And then you got 2 years left on that deal, too.
You just go there and smack him on the ass like too chunky.
Bobby, great talking to you as always, my man. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Bobby Marks, ESPN, NBA front office insider. So if you're a Knicks fan, that's it. He said it's got to start. If he's in Utah, it starts with R.J. Barrett.
So then,
yeah, draft picks are nice, but you're and maybe even quickly as well. Is it worth it to you? I heard a lot of Knicks fans tell me I'm not giving up Barrett.
I just go for Jalen Brunson then. Like, because it's the combination of Jalen Brunson and R.J. Barrett better than a depleted roster with just Donovan Mitchell on it?
I would try to trade up for Jaden Ivey. That's what I would try to do. And then put R.J. with him and let them grow up together.
Yeah.
Right? By the way, are you working on getting him on the show? Since you have, like, you know, familial, you know.
Oh, his dad, man, his dad.
Let's go. Yeah. And you make this happen? Draft's coming up. So meanwhile, also coming up, interesting thoughts from a former NBA coach on how the Celtics should handle Draymond Green in Game 3. You got to hear both perspectives. It's all right. There's two strategies. I want you to pick which one you think you would employ. We'll get to that after Bart has this from Granger.
Granger, I need, you know what I'm saying? It's like all the ones that get it done, man.
Yeah.
Tomato, tomato. For all the ones who get it done.
All of them.
Granger is here for you and always here to help. Granger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, along with 24/7 support, experienced staff, and curbside pickup at over 250 local branches, and get the free access to product specialists ready to help you track down those hard-to-find items. Yep. Plus, Granger's commitment to being your safety partner can help keep your facility safe and your people's even safer. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or listen. Just stop on by.
Yeah.
For all the ones.
Bart Hunt, Alan Hunt, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. I want to take Chris on Long Island because it just references what we were just talking to Bobby Marks about. So, Chris, go ahead.
What's up? 26.
I'm having trouble hearing you, Chris.
Give you one more chance, Chris.
No, he gone. All right, so the signal issues. So, again, all right. We'll get the calls going again.
We had to hold all that damn time.
Yeah, right? Well, it wasn't that long, but still. It's just interesting what the take was, because there's a lot of that reaction to the Donovan Mitchell stuff, but also reaction to Draymond Green. Now, first and foremost, listen to Draymond talking about on his podcast, of course, called The Draymond Green Show, and him saying, I am what I am. This is how I do it. I know what I'm doing. And what you saw in Game 2, expect more.
Nobody's paying to watch this stuff to see guys get thrown out of the game and you not see the game you want to watch. Like, and so I understand and agree. Like, yes, if there is something egregious, I'm going to get thrown out. As we know, nobody's sparing me. I never goes into it or after my first tech, like, oh, man, I got to tread carefully or walk lightly just to stay in the game. Like, because if I'm going to tread carefully and walk lightly, then I may as well get thrown out anyway, because that's not going to help my team win. So I have to be me.
Explain that, Bart.
Well, he has to be himself. He understands that he doesn't affect the game as much by scoring, right? He can affect scoring by setting his players up, his teammates up. But his job is to take the bullseye off of everybody else, to be the agitator. They put him on Jaylen Brown because, you know, in game one, they were ineffective in stopping his dribble penetration. So he's one of the most versatile former defensive player of the year, versatile guy that can guard 1 through 5.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what his job is. His job is to be the stopper, but also be the agitator and also to provide the energy. Nothing provides more energy than you getting into it and rallying your teammates. Okay. And if you agitate the opponent in at the same time, then that's perfect.
Okay, with that in mind, if you're the Celtics, how do you handle it? If you saw the referee, the officials kind of let Draymond get away with a lot of things after the first tech. didn't call the double tech, which could have been called when he and Jaylen Brown got into it late in the first half. He even tried to pull his shorts down, all that stuff. But they fell, and I think correctly, let's not throw this guy out of the game for this. This is just them, you know, this is just back and forth. Yeah. Right, let it go. But you know, all right, if he's doing it there, he's going to keep doing it in this series. So if that's the case, listen to Jeff Van Gundy on Zach Lowe's podcast, The Low Post, saying there's two strategies that Boston can employ.
You either have to come to the idea as a group that we're going to completely ignore Green, his antics and his disruptions, or we're going to confront him every single time he runs his mouth. And so I would try to get the earliest double T of all time. Could be at the jump ball. I would start Grant Williams maybe and have him just walk right over there and just start jawing, right? And then every time Green's running his mouth, turn and confront him.
Which way do you go?
I'm saying it depends on who you are. Right. If you're Marcus Smart, if you're sending the guys
that you aren't worried about.
Yeah.
You're not sending Jaylen Brown to go over there and confront him. You're sending, like, if Jeff was still coaching the Knicks, Anthony Mason, Charles Oakley, you know, like, I'm not sending Ewing over there. I'm not sending even Starks, although Starks wouldn't hesitate to get involved in things. Like, you'd be Anthony Bonner, you know, like, I'm sending anyone else over there to start some stuff.
Understand, Draymond is the master. He's been doing this longer than anybody over there, so you're coming out of character. So if that's not your character and Draymond can affect the other guys, yeah, you can go mess with Draymond, but you can't stop Draymond from agitating and messing with Jaylen Brown.
Right.
So it's like, doesn't matter. So you can put the guy, he ain't going to pay him. I'm not wasting my technos on your scrub, but you can say whatever you want. You're a scrub. I got four rings. I got three rings. Ha, ha, ha. How many you got?
Draymond, when you read lips, he does the FOH to guys. The ones that he has no respect for, he gives them the FOH.
What?
But,
Jets?
But exactly. Like he'll just look at them and it's like, who?
Who? The Jets?
But it's a very hockey mentality.
Yeah.
The Rangers went out and got Reeves. Why? Because their star players are getting punked. And they needed somebody that was going to say, all right, you want to mess with somebody? Come mess with me.
Yeah.
And it's sort of the same kind of thing. It's like, all right, I'm not sending my I'm not telling my stars stand up to them.
Yeah.
But we got to get a couple of thugs, you know, tough guys that are not afraid to mix it up. Let me get a couple of guys in there. They're going to just step forward. Like, all right, Draymond.
But can those guys put up great offense and defense while they're doing that? So because now you're playing with four – and not five. Draymond's used the Warriors are used to playing with four, not five. Because Draymond barely shoots the damn basketball. So where's the scoring going to come?
He has a triple singles.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. So,
but he affects the game because it's the emotional side of the game.
He sets his guys up
for
great
shots. And it's in Boston where you know the crowd is just a little extra something. They're already aware of him. We've been talking about for 2 days.
I worry about Poole.
Yeah, you think he might get a little overwhelmed?
He was overwhelmed in game one.
He was.
And
he didn't have a great first half either, game two. And second half, he went off.
Right, when the pressure was off.
Yeah.
Now, if they go at him and attack him, like, you know, Al Horford went off in game one, they attacked Al Horford, didn't get him open shots, open looks, where they attack Poole because they know they can't affect Draymond. And if Klay is balling, there's nothing you can do about it, but he's been
Klay
off.
Klay is another
so
X-factor.
So it's really trying to stop Wiggins and Poole from getting off because you can't stop Steph Curry. He's too good.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll continue your calls on this. NFL minicamps opening up all around the league this week. 2022, a big year for one former first-round pick. And as you know, this time of year, everything's awesome. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
It is what it is. It's Bart and Hahn. That's what it is. ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive proud to team up with Hello Alice to support small businesses. Get access to small businesses and small business resources and learn about small business grants at HelloAlice.com.
What you won't do? What you got?
So, Bart, we're at a point of you know, like this is now mini camps, mandatory, guys are showing up, and we talk about players and how do they look, and we know, what is it, Zach Wilson.
Beefy.
You know, right? And, you know, we're hearing all about Mac Jones, what a leader he's become. I mean, this is the type. This is the time of year. Everything is awesome. Right?
Everything is done good. You're right.
I love the drop. How about Nick Sirianni telling our good friend Sal Palantonio about Jalen Hurts and the work he's put in? I'm noticing a big difference. What I see is a crisper ball. We're talking a lot about balls in the NFL.
Tua actually has probably one of the prettiest balls I've ever caught in my life.
Like, this is what we're talking about.
Maybe just pretty balls come from Alabama.
Maybe it's just all about Alabama and just
Mac Jones, Jalen Hurts, Tua.
Tuscaloosa, home of the best balls, right? He said, you know, you could see him taking strides every single day, accuracy because of the fundamentals he has with his feet and his upper body. Sirianni just raving about Jalen Hurts. All quarterbacks are great. As I said, it's the NFL offseason, and that means everything is awesome. But how about, though, instead of a quarterback, a player that if you're a team like the Giants and it's somebody that you got to make a decision on, am I going to pay him? Am I not going to pay him? You know, and if you're the player, you're like, I need to prove something. So with a new head coach, a new front office, the Giants have Saquon Barkley. And according to Jordan Renan, our, of course, Giants reporter for ESPN.com, Saquon Barkley expects to be a big part of Brian Daboll's offense.
His rookie year, he caught 90-plus. I think it was 91 is the number. And that was a lot because that was when, you know, I think it was pretty much his last full year starter, and it was dumped down central. So that, I mean,
right.
But they still used him as a receiver a lot. But it just seems from watching, you see him being used out wide, in the backfield, in the slot, moving around, and just finding different ways to get the ball in his hands. I think you're going to see times where you're going to see Kadarius Toney and Saquon Barkley in the backfield, guys motioning out, moving around. And so that to me, is positive for Saquon Barkley if they could use him that way.
What do you think, Bart? Now, using him as more of a wide receiver slash, of course, player, which we know he can do, but how about just being able to utilize Saquon Barkley for his talents, which the Giants have never really been able to do? This is not their player now. This was a Gettleman pick. This is not their player, but it's a weapon. What do you think of them and what Renan's saying? Is kind of using him in different ways, not just as a running back.
I mean, you talk about putting Kadarius Toney in the back. You look at how Daboll and how they use their running back situation, Singletary, and also, I forget the receiver that they put in the backfield a lot. You can have that same type of synergy. The RPOs, which Daniel Jones has shown that he can do.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he went to top speed. The only thing that can get him was the turf. You know, so he's more athletic, right? So it's just ways of putting your athletes in space. You talk about Saquon Barkley as a rookie, you know, over 2,000 yards of total productivity, and a lot of that was, you know, catching 90 balls and putting him in an area to be in space where he can use his athleticism, because we knew that even though he has the thunder thighs and he's big, he's not one of those in-between the tackles, north and south type of runners. He's a guy that dances a lot. So if you put him in space, you know, and let his athleticism kind of play, and play to the fact that, you know, he's playing for his future. Like, is his future going to be one of a Leonard Fournette where he's a hired gun at really reasonable prices, $4 to $5 million, or is he trying to like a superstar?
What's he going to be?
He's
going to
give you everything, like McCaffrey Alvin Kamara, though.
But
Alvin Kamara hasn't disappointed.
You know what I mean, though?
It's like a cautionary tale. You got Devin.
What do you do with him?
You got Devin Cooks.
And if they use him, first of all, if you're Saquon, I want this because I want stats. And if you're the Giants, it's like, we got to figure out what we got here before we decide to let him walk, or is he worth it to us?
Yeah, I think he walks regardless, because I think that you think about Brian Daboll, and you think about what the knock was on Buffalo, is that they didn't really run the ball a lot. They much rather put the ball up in the air because they think that's where their advantages are. Now, maybe they think they have different advantages here with a talent like Saquon, but odds are that they're going to want to throw the ball because that's been the offense, getting guys in space, you know, play design, using, you know, the vertical and the horizontal space that's created by matchups, personnel.
Right.
And maybe Saquon could be part of that personnel in a lot of empty sets or offset, you know, being able to get, you know, pivot routes and vertical routes from the running back position, isolating him on linebackers. You know, it's going to be interesting to see, but you know that you're going to have a motivated Saquon. And if he falls apart, then that's just ammunition to say, oh, you know what? We're not going to invest in
him.
Yeah,
I agree. If you're Saquon,
what a shame that's going to be,
how
man.
How big is this?
Five years for a guy that you took second overall.
Amazing.
That was supposed to be revolutionized the position.
Come on, right? Full bloom love. The guy had a gold jacket, right? Yep. I mean, isn't that what he said? And that's why you took him. But now you got to figure out what he can be. But you can't even realize how big of a year this is for him. First of all, Saquon Barkley, he's a good dude, right? It's easy to start picking apart, oh, he's always hurt. But, you know, they shouldn't have taken him at number two. But he's a good dude that his football mortality is staring him in the face this year. Are you a journeyman or are you an important piece to a franchise that is going to be able to use you as a weapon on that offense to win? I mean, it's a huge story for the Giants.
He's 26 years old. And what people have to ask.
But if he gets hurt again, who's taking a chance on him?
And that's the thing. He's 26 years old. You have to ask yourself, am I getting a running back? You know, it's kind of like Aaron Judge. Am I giving a running back a contract at a high price for the next 5 years or 4 years so he's 30?
Look at Le'Veon Bell.
That can't stay healthy. Like, these guys fall off a cliff quickly. Last year, he only averaged 3.6 yards per carry. Only a measly 593 yards rushing.
And you got to obviously expect the offensive line has got to be better. That's a big part of his success as well. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll continue with your calls. Also, so half the Stanley Cup finalists set. Colorado Avalanche are there. Huge night for the Rangers and the Lightning tonight. Pivotal game in the series. We'll talk about that and more next. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Bart and Hahn.
Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You're looking at Saquon Barkley, you're watching him talk, right? And you're telling me he doesn't look the same. Why?
Yeah, he doesn't seem as confident, man. It's like, I think it's uncertainty about his future. He understands that this year is the biggest year of his career. This determines whether he's going to be an integral piece or if he's going to be Todd Gurley without getting paid the money. Like, it's like Todd Gurley performed, got the money, and then faded. It almost seems like he's fading. He's not – nobody's going to
give – McCaffrey got the money, and he just keeps getting hurt.
Yeah. But it's a tough place to be, man. It's tough to be a running back in this league when you think about just how easy – just think, Bryce Hall came in, you know, Kenneth Walker came in, and it's like, oh, well, they'll be instant success. Like, so why would I give a running back $20 million? Look at what Dallas is. They can say what they want. They regret that contract with Ezekiel Elliott.
Michael Carter? Is that what you're talking about?
No. I was talking about Kenneth Walker. Oh. You know, he got drafted from Michigan State, and they think he's going to be a superstar, right? But you can get those guys coming out every year, Breece Hall. Right?
Breece Hall.
You don't have to worry about that stuff. So, like, why would you go spend $20 million on a running back?
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you're not Chris Henry.
That's becoming that position that you feel like, I'll just recycle this.
Yeah, because
I don't need a veteran running back.
Unless you're
like
special
you
catching
to.
A ball like Alvin Kamara.
Right.
Right? But outside of that, Dalvin Cook. You got four guys. Nick Chubb took a modest contract. But right there, you could replace him if he didn't want to play ball. You could have said, "All right, well, Kareem Hunt, you're back to being a number one running back in the league, like you were in Kansas City."
Let's take some calls. We got Chris in Long Island. I'm going to try it a second time. Chris, how are we doing? Chris,
hello.
Yeah, we got you. Real quick.
My bad. My phone service is terrible. Listen, sorry about that before, but I gotta just come out. I tried calling you on Saturday when you're on with Larry, man. Dude, what do you think's going to happen if we trade RJ and Quigley for Donovan Mitchell? How much better of a team are we going to be?
All right,
the only thing we need to do right now is to dump Julius Randle. If they don't want Julius Randle at multiple first-round picks.
It's not going
to
happen. I'm telling you, it's not going to happen, Chris. And, Chris, there's a reason why I had Bobby Marks on. Is because I wanted him to tell everybody what it would cost so there's an understanding out there. It is not me promoting the idea, oh, do it anyway. That was the whole point of that, and thank you for the call, Chris. I wanted everybody to see, just so we all know, this is what it's going to cost. How bad do you want it? Is this what you want? It's going to cost you, and it starts with RJ Barrett. That's what he said. Not only is it going to cost you draft picks, it's going to cost you Barrett, and it might even cost you Quickly. Are you sure you want this? Stay with us. Back in 10 seconds.
Bart and Han.
Helm back from McCarr. Lets it go. Tipped on. Rebound. Score! It's Arturi Lehkonen! And you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here because this party is over.
Altitude Radio 92.5 on the call. What a Bart, you were even like engaged in this thing. I know you watch like the New York hockey teams, but I know you're not diehard into hockey, but the Avalanche win this game in overtime 6-5. They sweep the series against the Oilers. They do so despite they were down 2-0, 4-2 in the third period, and you're thinking it's not their night. The Oilers are just too proud. They're not gonna lose this game. Draisaitl is playing on one leg. And yet they just keep coming and they keep coming. And the next thing you know, they're in overtime. And they're only in overtime because the Oilers scored that late goal. They got a little bit of heroics to save what was they just melted down. And yet get into the overtime and bang, 6 goals. There I said this on Twitter, and I know I got a lot of pushback on it. But I said the Avalanche are the definition of a juggernaut. They are an immovable force. They don't care. They could be down 3 goals. It doesn't matter. They just keep coming back. I mean, these games that they've won, 7-6, it's been insane.
It looks like whoever they play, it looks like the champion is coming out of the West.
Well, they're the team now. They're in the final. So they're in the Stanley Cup final waiting to see who they play, the Lightning or the Rangers. And I'm being told
they get rusty.
The great Stan Fischel even coming at me on Twitter on this thing. Everybody's telling me, no, their goaltending isn't very good. Their defense isn't good. And so the winner is going to be whoever wins this Rangers-Lightning series, which tonight, 8 o'clock on ESPN, it's a big game. The Rangers win, it's 3-1. Like, never mind what happened in game 3.
Let them take momentum back.
But if you lose this game, it's 2-2. Yeah. And it's a best of 3, and Tampa just getting better and better. And you would think it favors Tampa if you lose this game. It's been a great series, but how do you convince? I feel like the Avalanche will outscore their own bad defense or bad goaltending.
Remember, we sold it as Western Conference Finals, all offense. Eastern Conference, all defense.
All defense, yeah.
I mean, they over there putting up football scores. Right?
It's wild. I mean, it's been entertaining. There's no doubt about it, but I don't know. Do you go with the team that just can put up goals? Now, again, Kempner was out. That's their starting goalie for the Avs, but he is expected to return for the final. So it's not like he's out forever. So they do have their starter. Is he great? He's not great. But the Rangers have beaten backup goalies in the first 2 rounds, and now they're facing one of the best goalies in the league in Vasilevskiy.
They're holding their own.
And I think they've been fantastic. I don't care what anybody says about Game 3.
It's
game
3 –
was a desperation win for the Lightning more than it was, oh, the Rangers just didn't play well. No, they played hard. It was a desperation win by a defending champion, which you expect. They should be even more desperate tonight. And if you're the Rangers, you take this one and come home 3-1. Man, the Garden.
They might be, when did the Garden get a retractable roof? We blew the top off this mother.
No, I'm serious. Like, it's to me. Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like. It does feel like this game could be the series.
Yeah.
Normally it's game 3, game 5. Like, usually it's those games that kind of set the tone for a series. I feel like this game 4 tonight is pretty much the series. Because if the Rangers go back for, like, and it's 2-2, I don't feel as good about their chances because it seems like, all right, the Lightning are starting to, like,
they're running out of gas.
Maybe.
Lightning's picking up, hitting their stride.
Maybe. Right?
Championship pedigree,
so
been there before.
Huge game for the Rangers tonight. No question about it, right? Huge game for the Rangers tonight, but still, what I saw from the Avalanche, I just felt like how do you ever feel like a lead is safe?
That? Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They're amazing, man. And they're busy put up points and so effortless in you, man. It's like, it's scary. It's scary.
Are you locked in? You said that the Stanley Cup playoffs have been better than.
Much better. It's not even close. Like, hats off to ESPN, what they've done, their broadcast, the coverage, but the games, the product.
Yeah.
That's all NHL.
Yeah.
I mean, you got 2 historical franchises. I mean, you talk about the Oilers, man. How bad do you feel? It's been like 50 years since they won a cup. Like, they're like part of the original 8.
Yeah. I think 1990 was their last cup.
That's like a historic.
They weren't part of the original
franchise.
8. They
were, well, I know.
But I know what you're saying. But Connor McDavid is a superstar. Is kind of lost there, and it's a shame he doesn't get to be on the stage for the Stanley Cup final. He couldn't get there, but they could not keep up. And then their goalie, Mike Smith, is all right, but he's not that good and a little erratic. Barton Hahn, we want you to tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast. It brings you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. Presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily. Available wherever you enjoy your podcast. What were you thinking?
The Red Wings, were they part of the original?
Yes, Red Wings are an original six team.
Yeah.
You know what the original six teams are? Can you name them?
I would go to Maple Leafs.
Maple Leafs.
I would go, you said Edmonton's not.
No.
I would go Chicago.
Yes, Blackhawks.
Come on. Rangers.
Rangers, that's Islanders. Three. You got half. No, Islanders are not.
Okay.
They came in 72.
Oh, Penguins?
Nope.
Man, I would think all like
you were close,
Midwest,
67, though. I think the Penguins are. Come on. You could do this. It's not that hard.
Calgary?
No. Another Canadian team? Montreal Canadiens. I'll give you that one.
Yeah,
two more.
Right, they changed it. Pressure buzzer pipe. Was it the Ranger? The Gretzky's dude.
He's going down, folks. He's going down.
Gretzky dudes.
Man down.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.